Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Today's Crosswalk is pre-recorded from Truth Set Free.
The Bible specifically talks about the fact that God puts people into positions of leadership in government, and basically God's involved in that whole thing. Well, we've got the added benefit of being able to actually pick the guy. And I think that Christians should be picking in these kinds of situations. And again, I didn't vote for him the first time. I wrote somebody else in at that point. Part of the reason that I, actually, if I was in another state, I would have been more, I would have specifically ended up voting for him, even though I would have been holding my nose on that in 2016. The reason I felt the freedom to write somebody else in is because I live in Washington State, and Washington State is dominated by King County and Pierce County, and so the state was going to go Democrat no matter what took place. If I was in another state, if I was in Idaho, I would definitely have held my nose and voted for the guy, even not knowing what he was going to do. A year later, found out what, you know, what his policies were, what he actually did, and that at that point I'm not a supporter of Trump in the sense of the things that he says necessarily, and I'm not talking about everything that he says, but you know, the stuff that people have problems with, I'm not a supporter of that. I think it's fleshy, but I am a supporter of the fact that that guy is closer to biblical principles than anybody else on the scene at this point, and he actually implements those things.
Yeah.
And he's done it better than guys that I liked better than him. And so I have no problem voting for him. In fact, I actively support voting for him, specifically because of the policies. It's like when I look at what I vote based on, I'm not voting based on what I like about the person or what I don't like about the person. I'm voting based on whether or not I think that they will actually do what they say. I want to see what the policies are, and then I want to see that they're going to actually do what they say. And you can tell many times whether or not a person is going to do those things by what they say. And so first time I heard Trump, I was unsure of whether or not that guy would perform. And then I saw him perform. And so now it's like, still don't like some of the stuff that he says, but I know that he's gonna do the right thing as far as he can tell. I know that guy's going to do the right thing in a situation. And it's going to be something that is way closer to being biblical or even absolutely biblical in comparison to what comes out of the Democrat Party. And so that's why I would vote for him. We're in a situation where the United States, you guys need to understand that when Reagan was talking about a city set on a hill and we're a light to the world, it's absolutely true. The United States has been that for hundreds of years. And we have been the major nation that sends out missionaries to the rest of the world. God has used the United States, and because of that, Satan wants to take the United States down. And we need to understand that when we're looking at elections, and especially when we're talking about national elections, that there is a spiritual element to this whole thing, and you have to be thinking about what Satan wants to do in taking out the United States. And if we don't, we as Christians don't step up and come down on God's side of these issues, then Satan is going to end up getting to do exactly what he wants. We've already got a nation where people are you know, we've got a party that wants to give young teenagers puberty blockers. You know what a puberty blocker is? It's chemical castration. It's what we do to people who are sexual perverts when we're going to take care of the issue. And admittedly, that's something that they have to volunteer for. But that's what we do. It's what you do to pedophiles, is give them chemical castration. And we're going to do that with children.
They'll even go as far as mutilating them in surgery.
Yeah, and so we've got a culture and we've got a party that condones this kind of stuff, and we've got the opportunity to block it just on that. You know, and then you start talking about abortion and all the other moral issues that we've got going on in our nation, and we're going to sit back and do nothing because I don't like what the guy says?
I can't for the life of me understand it, and especially when it comes to people who call themselves believers, and they'll go, I can't vote for that guy because he's pompous. Mm-hmm. But everything that you just said as far as policy, he overturned Roe v. Wade. With the Supreme Court justices. He moved the capital of Israel
right
to Jerusalem, where it's supposed to be. No one's ever done that before.
Yeah.
And as a believer, that's a spiritual issue.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And you can go on down the list of all the things he's done, and then in our analogy about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar hung out with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Uh-huh. Well, Trump surrounded himself around Christians.
Yeah.
Now, at her last rally, someone yelled, Jesus is Lord, and she goes, you're at the wrong rally.
Exactly.
And they'll take all these spiritual issues and they'll shelve them because they don't like the orange man. I cannot figure it out.
Right, yeah. And so, I think you're absolutely right. There are bigger issues than Donald Trump's personality. If I'd had my druthers when I'm looking at the whole political scene, this is what I'd love. I'd love a guy who's an absolute full-blown Jesus freak, who is competent and loves the United States to be president. That's what I'd like.
Yep.
And we don't have that.
George Washington's not on the ballot, right, exactly. Unfortunately.
Yeah, George Washington would be awesome, but that's not what we've got, and so we need to preserve righteousness, and I think that we've got a responsibility to do exactly that. God gave you the vote. What you going to do with it?
Amen.
And, you know,
call to action.
Yeah, when you're talking about the things that God gives you, you know, the parable of the minas and the parable of the talents. And you go and bury stuff, and you're accountable for those things. And so there are things that God has placed in my control, and I need to be doing the things that the Lord would have me do with those things. Yeah. And so again, I think that God loves babies. I think that God loves women. I think that God loves children. And those are some of the weakest groups on this planet. When you get right down to what can happen to people, and we've got young girls that are being raped and killed because of policy. We've got women who are being gang raped and killed because of policy. And you know, if the policies were different, they would still be alive. And we've got babies that obviously are being killed because of policy. And so policy matters, and I'm not all that worried about emotional things in this stuff. I'm not worried about that much about personality if I've got a guy who's actually going to perform. So
yeah, I'm not voting for my friend. I'm voting for policy.
Right.
Mitch hit me with this last night, and what he pointed out was one of the things that separates Trump is that he's not a globalist. Mm-hmm. And when you read the end of the book, one world government, one world religion with a one world dictator and a one world currency, globalists make me nervous.
Right.
And so the fact that he separates himself is just another point of that's a policy that I can vote for as a believer.
Right. You know, one of the things that I don't think people understand is that we've got a situation where we've got people in Washington, D.C. who are absolute Marxists. These are people who believe that communism is the best way to go. And a lot of times they don't come out with communism. They're talking about socialism. And you know what, you guys? You can vote for socialism. You can vote yourself into socialism. You cannot vote yourself out. Because once those structures take over a government, they entrench themselves and they start taking power away from people. And again, we're sitting in a situation where we can have a nation that is actually a light to the world, or we can have our nation go the way of the rest of the world and become ineffective and actually tooled by the enemy. And so I know, again, I read the end of the book. I know where the world's going, and I know that the United States is going to be involved in that whole thing. That doesn't mean I want it to happen during my lifetime. It doesn't mean that I want it to happen during the lifetime of my children. And so I think Jesus is coming back soon. Hopefully it's, he comes back before my life ends. And
I'm hoping before Tuesday.
Yeah. I understand all that kind of stuff too. But it's like I have a short view as far as my expectation of Jesus coming back. And I have a long view as far as my responsibilities go. So I've got responsibilities to my kids, to my grandkids, and to the people who are around me, and I need to be acting responsibly as a citizen of the United States. And my citizenship is always mainly in heaven, but God's put me here on this planet, in this place, for this time. And so I need to act in the way that God would have me act.
Amen.
And burying my responsibilities is not one of those things that I will do.
Occupy till I come.
Exactly.
All right, Pastor Steve. Michael's on Facebook here, and this is what he says. Hey, guys, my boss put on my annual review that I'm too aggressive when I talk to people and that I need to watch my tone. I don't know for sure, but I think another Christian went and told my boss because I confronted him about gossiping behind my back because this person went to every single coworker. I also remember asking a question about an angry coworker a while back. It could be either of these people. What are your thoughts on this? What would you tell Michael?
You live in a world where they don't live according to what Scripture says. And so you have to be ready to be persecuted. Jesus, when he began the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the fact that there are going to be times when we get hassled. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so if that's what's going on, then I would be rejoicing over that stuff. Give God glory for the fact that you are standing out. It needs to be, though, a situation where they're saying all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And so need to make sure that you're in the right place when people are having problems with you, and that they're just having problems because they didn't like the fact that you were standing up for righteousness in a situation. It's like when people talk to me about my tone, I know what my tone can be like. And so I take those things to heart in situations. There are times when I don't care about my tone because it's something that needs to be said, and it may need to be said forcefully. And if I got a person who doesn't like that, that's okay. Otherwise, if I want to reach a person, I don't know that I've ever done this on the Q&A, but if I have a situation where I need to go and talk to somebody about something, I know what my face looks like. And so there are times that I'll practice in front of the mirror what I'm going to say, what my face is going to look like. And there have been times when I said it to the mirror and just went, well, that's not good. just dealing with tone. Lately, one of the things that I will do when I talk to people is put my glasses on, because my glasses actually make me look nicer.
Why do you think I'm wearing these? Someone said that, I'm like, perfect.
Yeah. And so watching your tone is something that is a good thing. But the truth is the truth. And so you speak the truth, but you do it in love. Speak the truth in love. And then you let the chips fall where they may. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine is what Paul said to Timothy. And so there are times when those things need to take place. And so, you know, just trust God in the middle of that whole thing. I wouldn't get all bent about it in the sense that, you know, if somebody did that, you know, did the whole HR thing with you, that's sneaky and weaselly. That's what I think of it. It's like you went and told mommy, yeah. You know, instead of coming and talking to me. I think that's sneaky. I think it's weaselly, and it is, and that's my judgment on that. But the reason that they're sneaky and weaselly is because they don't know Jesus. What about the Christian? He doesn't know Jesus well enough if he's doing stuff like that. And so the problem there is that they're not walking with the Lord at all, or they're not walking with the Lord in the way that they should be. And so what I do at that point is I just hand them over to the Lord. And, you know, God may open up a door where you can talk to them. And I would be praying about that too. But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't go chase them down and stuff. Just, you know, water off a duck's back and just continue to do the right thing. One of the things you want to do when people are criticizing you for things that you've done that you know are right, and just coming after you on things and accusing you of all kinds of nonsense, is you just outlive them. You know, so you live for the Lord and you walk, you continue your walk with God, and your lifestyle needs to be something that makes what they're saying about you look stupid.
All right, thanks, Michael, for posting a question. Hopefully that helped you. Yep. All right, I have a different mic on here, Steve, and this is a multiple-part question. We'll just take it piece by piece here. He says, what are considered essential beliefs and what are considered disqualifying beliefs or actions?
Well, when you're talking about essential beliefs, things that are not heresy. And so when I'm looking at what makes somebody a Christian and a follower of Christ is what they have to say about who Jesus is. So the Bible teaches that Jesus is God come down to the earth, and he's God come down in human form, fully God, fully man. And so your Christology, and that's what that's called in theology, your Christology matters. And so who is Jesus? Because Jesus is central to salvation. And so we need to have a real relationship with the real Christ. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 talked about there's another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And that's a good place to go to. Soteriology is issues dealing with salvation, how you get saved. So who is Jesus and how you get saved? And so if people are teaching that you are saved by your works, that's a big fat deal. It's a big fat deal. There's a way that seems right to a man, Proverbs says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so most religions on this planet are works-based. And when you're looking at Christianity, it's not man reaching out to God, it's God reaching down to man. And it's God is the one who does the work in us. God is the one who saved us. God is the one who sanctifies us. And God is the one who's going to take us home to be with him in heaven. And so our salvation is something that's based on the grace of God, our faith being involved, but on the grace of God, and we are saved through faith. And so your soteriology matters, how you get saved. When you start saying that you get saved by going to my church, you got a problem. That's cultic. When you start saying that you get saved by baptism, by getting dipped in water, or by taking communion, or things like that, that's aberrant theology. It's aberrant. And so they can have the right attitude towards Christ in a situation like that, in the sense that they've got the right doctrinal position on who Jesus is, but then they become aberrant in their theology as far as salvation goes, and that's problematic. Those are big fat issues, and those are things that need to be paid attention to. Generally speaking, those are the main things that I'm looking at. So when I'm talking to a cultist, I'm talking to him about who God is, who Jesus is. Obviously, God the Father, you know, the nature of God is a big fat deal too. So who God is, who Jesus is, and how you get saved. And so those are the main things that I'm looking at. There are other things that people believe that I don't agree with, and I think that I have scriptural backing for those things. But you can be in error in those areas and still have a relationship with God. Here's another thing I want to say to you also, is that when you're looking at this stuff, one of the things that happens with guys who start learning the Bible and start thinking about issues that are disqualifying as far as salvation goes, is that you have to always remember that salvation in a person's life is something that's in flux. In other words, we don't get saved with an absolutely correct theology. We get saved not knowing anything about what we're doing.
I just said that to someone last night.
Yeah.
The thief on the cross. Did he know the Trinity?
Yeah. No, any of that stuff. And so the issue when we're talking about the Trinity or the nature of who Jesus is or the nature of the Godhead, who the Father is, how you get saved, all of those things are things that we learn as we're going through our Bibles, and you can tell when somebody's saved by what they do with what the Scripture says when it's presented to them.
There you go.
Because the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. And so I've known a number of people who had no clue about the nature of God, had no clue about everything that the Bible teaches about who Jesus is. And actually, you know, factually, most people that I know don't know all the ins and outs about Christology, frankly, or the nature of God, or even the controversies that came up in the early church about those things. These things were talked about and beat around and that kind of stuff for the early centuries of Christianity, and until the church came up with the basics on what the Bible actually says about these things. And these guys did a pretty good job of it, and most Christians have no clue about some of the issues that were involved. And so even talking about the Trinity and what all the implications of that are, the humanity of Christ and all the implications that go with that, you know, and the nature of the incarnation, how is Jesus both man and God, and how do those things work according to Scripture, not according to just somebody's ideas, which was usually what the church was reacting to. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the people that I know that get judgmental about these things, when I'm talking to them, you know, if I know them well, I can just say to them, you don't know what you think you know. You know, it's like, and I can pretty quickly tell, you know, what's going on with them. And, you know, I can bring up issues that maybe they've never even thought about, and said, if you're going to base salvation on a perfect knowledge of these issues in Scripture, then you're not saved, dude. And frankly, neither am I, because I don't know everything that's going on with the nature of the Godhead. Everything that God says about himself ends up being a mystery in as far as how these things work. And so, you know, a little humility needs to be involved here. And so, again, when somebody gets saved, what happens, Jesus says, is that he, the Father, and the Spirit come to dwell inside them. And those are passages out of John chapter 14 through 16. There's a number of passages that speak about these things. But the God of the universe comes to live inside of somebody, and because of that, they're guided into all truth.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, please email me at crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail or text message to 707-872-7677. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you've been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.
My King is come.